Let's pray. Our dear kind Heavenly Father, as we open your word this morning, may we have your Holy Spirit to be here with us. May your Holy Spirit talk to us. May we appreciate the message you would have us to learn for this day. Is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Paul was back in Rome, in jail. The second trial had taken place before Nero, and he knew that life was going to come to an end soon. Getting close to the end. And so it was in this setting he would send out, as it were, one final letter. One final letter to a young minister. To a young minister who was probably still getting used to where he was at, still learning the ropes, still growing in Christ himself. But Paul sends out this one final letter. And today we're going to look at the first chapter of this letter, because there is so much in it we can learn. So much, so many beautiful things we can learn that we need to remember. 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1, if you have your Bibles, please. And beginning with verse 1, I read these words. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy and peace from God the Father and Jesus Christ our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. What a way to start this letter. What words to say to this young person who was at the beginning probably still of his ministry. To know that he was in the mind of the great apostle. To know that he was not being forgotten. To know that he was loved. That in the mind of the older man, he was special. And as I consider these words, I cannot help but ask myself the question as to how often do I think of the young people who are in our church? How often do we stop and pray for them? How often do we take the time to give words of encouragement and praise to those who are young in our church? Was Timothy perfect? No. I'm sure he would have had faults that needed working on. And I have no doubt that he probably knew them. He knew what they were. And no doubt the Apostle Paul was aware of them too. But what do we find here at the beginning of this letter? It's not words of criticism, not words of, well, I know you did this and that and the other. What we find are words of encouragement. You're special. You're special. Words to lift him up, not to pull down. That's important, isn't it? To have words of encouragement, to have words to lift up, not to tear down. Then we read on. 2 Timothy chapter 1, let's go to verse 4 and onwards. Greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore, I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. Here in these verses, we are reminded of the influence that can be found in families. Families. Not only is Paul reminding Timothy of his first love, but he is reminding him of the love also of his mother and grandmother. How true it is that we can all play a part in the lives of those who are younger. We see this so often in the importance of families. Family life is important. How important it is to have a network that we can depend upon at all times. Family is important. But more than this is the message to not let go of the faith that you knew when you were young. A faith that was innocent. A faith that was special. Do not depart from that, he says. And when you stop and think about it, how we would all do well to remember the faith that we had when we were young. It was simple. And yeah, we understood that. You know, we all remember the words of the old hymn. Jesus loves me, this I know, for the Bible, what? Do you still believe it? Today we think of how simple the words of the old hymn is. But really, what more do we really need to know? Is not the gospel message really all about the fact that Jesus really, truly does love me? And when you stop and think about it, have you fully reached the point when you really do believe those words? That Jesus does love you. Do you believe it? Do you believe it? Because all too often, the older we get, we take the gospel and we make it so complicated. We can make it so complicated. So many doctrines, so many this and that, all of which are valid, but they somehow dilute the importance of the core message that Jesus loves me, this I know. Then we come to verse 7. For God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of sound mind. The words we have here. God has not given us the spirit of fear, but rather God has given us power, love, and a sound mind. When you stop and think about it, it is a rather strong statement to make. But consider with me the following, Romans chapter 8. Come with me there. Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. At first glance you may wonder, why put this verse in here? But stop and think about it. What is it that gives you your identity? Is it not to know that you are part of a family? Then what does this verse say to you? That you are a part of the family of God. You are part of God's family. You're a member of the family of heaven. And have you ever stopped and considered, hey, what that means to you for this day? You see that in sitting in church today, you are saying to the world, you belong to Jesus. You belong to Jesus. You're a member of his family. Just as people down at the MCG are saying, we're a part of a football family. A football family that really has no future, really. It can't offer you anything. But to sit in church and to say, hey, I am a part of God's family. I'm a part of the family of heaven. And I'm sure that for Timothy it would have been a special thing to be reminded of the calling that was in Christ. That he was important. He was special. That his role was also special to those round about him. And to be shared that from an old apostle on death row would have made the message even more important to hear. Timothy, you're important. You're special. The role that you're playing is very important. It is special. You need to know it. And in this, there is another lesson that those of us who may be a little bit older could do well to learn as well. You see, you may think you cannot do much as you get older, but there is one thing you can do. Give encouragement. We can all give encouragement to those who are younger. How they need to know that they are loved, they are welcomed in this place. How we all need to know that we are loved by every other member of the church. But now the old minister starts to give some good advice in 2 Timothy chapter 1. Let's go back there. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 8 and 9, he says these words. Be not thou therefore ashamed of the testimony of our Lord, nor of me his prisoner, but be thou partaker of the afflictions of the gospel according to the power of God, who has saved us and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world had begun. Here in these words, it's a very straightforward message. Don't be ashamed of our message. Don't be ashamed of the message. Don't be ashamed of Jesus. Don't be ashamed of what our message is all about. Because the message that we have is a worthy message for today. And even in 2019, it is still relevant. The message that we have must never be forgotten. How all of us need to remember that message, and at the heart of that message, what is it? Let's look at it. Three or four verses that we know very well. John chapter 3. Yeah, we know this verse. John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17 says, For God so loved the world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Do you believe it? Are you convicted with it? Romans 5. Let's go there. Romans 5. Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commended his love toward us in that while we were what? Yet sinners. Christ died for us. Do you believe that? That while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sin. You know, when you stop and think about it, the message of the Bible really is about love. Love. God's love for us. God's love for us. What a beautiful love he has. What a beautiful love he has for each one. We are loved. We are loved by God. More than that is the fact that God was willing to give up Jesus so that we might have the chance of eternal life. That's special, isn't it? That's special. And for young Timothy, how he would have appreciated to know that love. To know that Jesus loved him, that Jesus was there beside him, and that in him he could put his trust. Are you putting your trust in Jesus today? Are you holding onto his hand? Because that message, to know that Jesus loves us, to know that Jesus is there walking beside us, we still need to know it for today. You see, Jesus did not die just for old folk. Jesus did not die just for the favoured few. When Jesus hung on the cross, he did it for everyone. Everyone. That includes you. It includes me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, come with me there. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 13 and 14, we read these words. 2 Timothy chapter 1, 13 and 14. Hold fast the form of sound words which thou hast heard of me in faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost, which dwelleth in us. Here in this passage, Timothy is given a very simple command. Hold fast. Hold fast to the good. Hold fast. Sometimes that's a difficult thing to do when things get rough. To hold fast. But what good advice it is to be given. To not let go, to hold fast to the good. How often we can be guilty of letting go when the way is so too hard. But then, we are not to just remember the good, but more than that is to hold fast to the grace and love that is found in Jesus. How great is that grace? How great is that love? 1 Timothy chapter 1. Turn back a couple of pages. 1 Timothy chapter 1. And in verse 14 and 15 we read these words. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. He came to save sinners. He came to save us each one. He came to give us hope. Hebrews chapter 10. Come with me there. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22 and 23. Let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. You know, what a good reason for holding on to what we know. Yeah, we can know that Jesus is faithful. We can know that Jesus saves to the end. But the best news for us all to remember is that Jesus gave his all just for me. Just for me. And regardless of your age, whether young or old, Jesus gave it all just for you. That's good news. That's good news. But in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 14, we are then given these words of advice. That good thing which was committed unto thee, keep by the Holy Ghost which dwelleth in us. Here in this verse, Timothy is reminded, hey, this good thing that is committed to you, keep it. Don't lose sight of it. That good thing which is committed for all of us today, do we fully appreciate it? And yet when you stop and think about it, from Jesus himself we have each been given a challenge. A challenge. What is that, I hear you say? And in answering that question, I would take you to a verse of scripture found in Matthew. Matthew 28. In Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, we read these words. Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even until the end of the world. You know, when you stop and think about it, the challenge of these words are very clear. Yes, so what you have heard, you make it a part of your own life. That's true. But more than that, it's a challenge that you go and share it with someone else. That you do your part in sharing the good news that Jesus is coming again and that this world of sin will one day come to an end. But with the challenge, there is also a promise. The promise being that, hey, I will be with you. I will be there by your side. You do not have to face the crowd by yourself. I will stand there with you. I will give you the strength that you need. And the promise that is given is not just for now. The message is that the promise of Jesus by our side is the promise that he will keep until the end of the world. When you think about the letter that was sent to this young man, Timothy, there is much that we can take heart from. You see, consider with me this. Timothy was told, "You're loved. You're loved." Timothy was also told, "The power of heaven is with thee." Timothy was also told, "Do not be ashamed of what you have learnt." Timothy was also told, "Hold fast to the good." And Timothy was also told, "Jesus is there for you." And for us today, the message is still true. The wonderful things that were told to Timothy are still true for us today. You see, may we each remember that we are loved by God. May we each remember that the power of heaven is there beside us. May each of us remember never to be ashamed of what we have learned. May we each remember to hold fast to the good. And most importantly, may we each remember that Jesus is there for us every day. May we each remember that He loves us. He loves us. And He will love us always to the end of the world. Dear Heavenly Father, may we all remember that Jesus loves us. How do we know? Because the Bible tells us so. Thank you, Father, for that beautiful promise of His love. For in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.